Last week, I began the first part of God's eternal purpose. And, you know, the word purpose has to do with God setting forth His intention or His purpose. God setting forth His intention. If you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. We'll see where we get this. In Ephesians chapter 3, as I said last week, this is going to be a study type message. Going to be a little bit in depth and in detail. So it may seem to have a little bit of a, you know, where you going with this mentality, but I assure you at the end of this message, you're going to see that it's all to our glory in how God works. In Ephesians chapter 3, look in verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we're going to hold up there. And basically the title or the topic of my message comes from verse 11. According to the eternal purpose. So we have the eternal purpose of God. And I want to conclude today on what is God's eternal purpose. And show you how enormous that is to God Almighty. His eternal purpose. Now last week we talked about the ministry of the Apostle Paul. So we'll go to our weekly chart here, the ministry of Christ. We're going to let this line represent Paul's conversion in Acts chapter 9, where he begins his ministry. Now, according to Romans chapter 1, verse 16, we know that Paul preached the gospel of Christ, for it's a power of God unto salvation. He said to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So we followed through that, and without going through it again, there was at least eight verses where we followed Paul after he began his ministry here, and we saw that every place he went, every city he went, the first place he would go to was the synagogue of the Jews. Why did he go there? Because he sent to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Well, when he got to the synagogue, gathered in that synagogue were Jews, obviously, but there were also Gentiles in the synagogue there. And they were gathered together. Well, in each one of those cities, we're going to draw a line right here because you have other Gentiles that are not in that synagogue. They're not in the synagogue. Why? Because they out partying and drinking and cussing and all that? No, they're not in that synagogue because it's a synagogue of the Jews, and they won't have anything to do with those Jews. They want no part to do with those Jews. These Gentiles here believe in the God of the Jews. They believe that the God of the Jews is the God of heaven and earth, and so they assemble with these Jews to hear the preaching of the Word of God, read from the prophets every Sabbath day. So they're in there, assembled in the synagogue. So Paul goes in there and he preaches the gospel. Well, you have some Jews and some Greeks that get saved. You have Jew and Gentile that get saved in the early part of Paul's ministry. And folks, let me tell you something about that. If you lived at that time, you would not have the opportunity to hear the gospel. Why? Because you could only hear it in association with the Jews. Why? Paul is sent to the Jew first. And what makes you think you're going to go sit in a synagogue and listen to that? Let me ask you something. Before you got saved, did you go to a synagogue?
Never.
You had nothing to do with the Jews unless you worked with them or just knew them. But look, it goes deeper than that. There was bitterness between these two, and you can see it today. There's bitterness there. So they, these Gentiles here that would not go into synagogue, had no opportunity to be saved. There was no opportunity. This dates back to a promise that God made with Abraham. Turn back to Genesis chapter 12. Look in Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now we're going to run through this, so kind of hitch it up and go full throttle here. In Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I'll show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation. I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So we see a nation coming from Abraham. Now watch what he says in verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In other words, anybody that was going to be blessed had to bless the seed of Abraham. These Gentiles here are blessing that seed by assembling with these Jews, believing that their God is the God of heaven and earth. And so they listened to the preaching of the scriptures. They'd read the Old Testament scriptures. They're assembled there. Therefore, these Gentiles here had the opportunity to be blessed by the hearing of the gospel when Paul brought it to them. These here, cursed. They don't want to have anything to do with the Jews. They are against the Jews. They are cursing the Jews. Now, with that said, turn to Romans 11 and look in Romans 11. In Romans 11, the question, why was Paul sent to the Jew first? I think it's legitimate. Probably falls into that category that I had a couple months back. Good questions. Well, this isn't really in the Bible, but good questions would be, why would Paul be sent to the Jew first? Well, it's answered in Romans chapter 11. With Romans 11 open, go to verse 5. He says, even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Even so then, at this present time. Well, he's talking about the ministry he has right then and there. At this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. What is that? There are those Jews that God foreknew. Let's take this thing back. Let's go back here before the foundation of the world. We're back here before the foundation of the world. God has the ability, before the world's foundation is laid, to look down time and see everything happening before it happens. So he's got the gospel of Christ. He can see, he gives it to the man Saul, Paul, who became Paul, and Paul takes it to the synagogue. He knows that there are some Jews there, no synagogues, that would believe the gospel if somebody took it to them. And that's exactly what Paul did. He took the gospel to those Jews. And because of that, there was a remnant of Jews in that entire nation there that would believe and get saved. So God used Paul to go into these Jews to get that remnant out according to the election of grace. So that's why he went to the Jew first. But look what happened as time went on. Go down to verse 11, Romans 11, verse 11. He says, I say then, have they, and that's a reference to those Jews, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. Rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them, the riches of Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Well, during Paul's ministry, you follow that ministry, as he was sent to the Jew first, something's happening. The Jews are falling. So is this marker. The Jews are diminishing. They're beginning a fall. In other words, everywhere he goes now, he's being rejected by the Jews. He's being persecuted, and they're trying to kill him. So the process of time is the Jews are rejecting the one that God's sending them. Well, God isn't going to send him there till he gets killed, because he's got an eternal purpose in his mind that Paul knows nothing about, the world knows nothing about. So they're diminishing. Now, go, your Romans 11, go to verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now make note, blindness in part. You know what blindness is part in part is? Partially blind. Kind of like if you squinted your eyes, you know. If you got good vision. If you don't have good vision, it's like taking your glasses off. Where'd y'all go? Blindness in part. All right? Now, as Paul is carrying out the ministry that God ordained him to do, to go to the Jew first, these Greeks get saved. And I want to make a point about these that get saved. Turn to Acts chapter 13. Look back in Acts 13. We want to read an account here. Look in verse 42. Acts 13, verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now note, they want it preached to them the next Sabbath. Why the next Sabbath? Because these Gentiles are assembling with these Jews on the Sabbath. He didn't say, the Gentiles didn't say, we want to meet with you tomorrow. We want to meet with you and have these words preached to us the next Sabbath because we're going to be in that synagogue. Verse 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. In other words, Paul says, look, Jews, I'm sent to you first, but you're judging yourself unworthy of everlasting life. So, lo, we're going to turn to these Gentiles. For the Lord hath commanded us. Well, where did he command them? Out of Isaiah. How do I know that? Because he quotes Isaiah when he says, Lo, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. In other words, back here in Isaiah, I think it's 42:6 here, Paul is quoting that, applied over here, in that the Jews have judged themselves unworthy of everlasting life. So lo, according to Isaiah, they're going to go out to these Gentiles. These Gentiles, not these that bless, that's where it's going to. Hence, these Gentiles here not only are blessed, they have a promise. I said last week, pay attention to this. This is very important. They have a promise. What is that? Back in Isaiah, God promised to send a light to them. Who is that? Paul with the ministry of Jesus Christ. So, during this time, Israel then becomes rebellious. They're diminishing, and blindness in part is taking place. Now, we're going to fast forward this and go to the end, or towards the end of Paul's ministry. Look in Acts chapter 28. Now, this is really kind of jumping ahead here. Well, I'll tell you what, before we go there, we'll go there in a minute. Go to Acts 22. In Acts 22, verse 17, I guess. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning thee. You see the Jews' position at that point? God's warning, you better get out of Jerusalem. They're not going to accept the gospel of Christ that I gave you. They're going to wind up killing you, Paul. So God's telling them, get out. Acts 22, verse 19 now. And I said, Lord, they know that I am prisoned and beaten every synagogue, them that believed on thee. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. Now watch this. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And folks, it's very important that you understand the far hence. Very important you understand the far hence. Now, getting the gospel out should be an exciting thing. It should be a good thing. It's carrying out God's will. Let's see how the Jews responded when he said, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Look in verse 22. And they gave him audience unto this word. So he said it, and now they respond. Then lifted up their voices and said, praise the Lord, we got somebody taking the gospel out to the Gentiles. Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it's not fit that he should live for preaching the gospel. I'm going to take it far hence unto the Gentiles. Far hence to the Gentiles. And he said, we just soon kill you. You don't even deserve to live. Why is that? Why did they go up in arms like that? Turn over to Acts 28, I told you earlier. At the end of Paul's ministry, he's here, he's imprisoned, And he gets visitors, mainly some Jews here, in this account anyway. Paul's bound with the chain for the hope of Israel. So he's in jail is what he's saying. And verse 21, Acts 28, 21. And they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. Holds true today, huh? Everywhere it's spoken against. Verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. He's going back to Isaiah, and he's going to quote Isaiah here. He says, saying, go unto this people, that's those Jews, and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now something in verse 27. For the wax of this people is wax gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Now watch this. Their eyes have they closed. During Paul's early ministry, blindness in part has happened to Israel. Well, when you're blind in part, you got partial sight. But at the end of his ministry out here, the eyes closed. What do you see when they're closed? You don't see nothing. They're blind at this point. So he says, verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and that they will hear it. And folks, that's us sitting in here. You understand? That's us sitting in here. When he said Gentiles there, he ain't talking about this bunch anymore. He's talking about these here. These that are far hence. How do I know? Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Look at these Gentiles here that he's preaching to at Ephesus. In chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. Now watch this. Verse 12, that at that time, that's the times past of verse 11, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. In time past, he's referring to this. He's not going back to some long distance time back here. He's referring to Paul's early ministry when he went to the Jew first, and these Gentiles got saved. Why? They blessed these Jews. Hence, God made a promise in Isaiah 42:6 that he'd bring a light to these and they would be saved. They would have a promise based upon a promise God gave back here in Isaiah 42:6. These Gentiles are different. Look in verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Now watch this. And strangers from the covenants of promise. Well, the only ones that were strangers was this bunch here. In other words, God never had anything in the Old Testament written down to say these guys here, which is us. Do you understand that? There was no promise of God to save anybody in here according to the writing of the law of Moses and the prophets. Think about that. You know why it's so hard to preach this? Because you got preachers out there telling you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, blah, blah, blah. Then they'll go back here and quote some verse that don't apply to us. It applies to these Jews. And they'll take that verse and throw it right at these Gentiles. And God never intended it to be so. It's not a promise to you. These Gentiles, which are us, are strangers from the covenants of promise. Hence, being a stranger from the covenants of promise, They had no hope. There was no hope for us. No hope. Think about it. None whatsoever. And without God in the world. Well, let me tell you, these had God in the world. Why? They're assembled with these Jews. They're assembled with these Jews. So the word of God came to them, and they had a blessed opportunity based upon promises back here to be saved. But what happened? Israel, blinded in part, they diminished to where at the end of it all, Paul says, Isaiah said, your eyes are closed. So he said, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent out to the Gentiles. You know what bunch that is? That's the ones far hence. What is far hence anyway? Kind of a country term, huh? That's them bunches way out there. They're not convenient. This bunch here, they're right there. Why? They're in the synagogue. These are far hence. Now you want to see the Gentiles that are far hence? When Ephesians chapter 2, watch this, verse 13. Key verse here. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Ye who were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Acts 22, God sends Paul to the Gentiles. He's going to send him far hence unto the Gentiles, which is this bunch right here. And when he said that, these Jews went ballistic. This is a cursed bunch. This is their vowed enemies. This is the ones that hate their God. So when Paul says, God's going to send me to them, that's why they said, it's not fit that a man should live. This man should die. These Gentiles here, they're far hence. They're under a curse. They had no promise till Paul was given a revelation. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you, Gentiles. In other words, I went to jail for you, Gentiles. You that are in here. Paul went to jail, went to prison, and died for you, Gentiles. Think about that for a minute. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation, not by prophecy, by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, the mystery, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, is now revealed, now unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Folks, you only get into this body by the gospel. You don't get in any other way. Everybody that's in this body got in this body based upon believing the gospel, and don't believe anybody that tells you any differently. You're in the body by the gospel. What is that? Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he was raised again the third day. You put your trust in Jesus Christ. You're in the body. Your sins are forgiven. You're seated in Christ Jesus. You have a heavenly inheritance and you're just waiting to be picked up. What is so bad about that? That'd be a good day to be picked up, wouldn't it? Carried out of here. We can turn it over to all those that believe you can lose your salvation. Hey, we got a church for you. Come over here. Just turnkey. You can have it. We're looking to get out of here, folks. These Gentiles here, they're partakers of his promise of the same body in Christ by the gospel. Verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, now watch the humbleness of this man. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the, and you can underline it, unsearchable riches of Christ. Why are they unsearchable? Because nobody could read it back here in the Old Testament and see that God would ever save these Gentiles. It was a mystery. It wasn't promised back here in Isaiah 42. That was to this bunch that blessed Israel. This bunch, there was no promise. Therefore, it's the unsearchable riches of Christ that God would save sinners such as ourselves. Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what he's saying there? God had an eternal purpose worked out. What is eternal? No beginning, no end. I've said it before, and I probably shouldn't say it, but it's, you know, freak of nature, habit rather, nature too. Freak of habit, and I say, in eternity past. Eternity just exists. It just exists. God's eternal purpose, what is that? God's no beginning, no end. His purpose, his intention for all of eternity was to save us Gentiles. Think about it. His eternal purpose was to save the bunch that's in this room. You got people going before God, coming down the aisle to the altar, kneeling and telling God how sorry they are for their sins. And I've sinned before you, oh God, and I turn to you, and I believe in you. Well, well, well. God's purpose is for every man to be saved today. And that comes on the basis of you putting your trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. When he hung on that cross, he died for every sin that you ever have, you are now, and you ever will commit in your life. Everyone has been paid for in full. He was buried, and God raised him from the dead, showing us that there is eternal life. And God gives us that life when we trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And his desire for everyone in here and every Gentile out there that are far off, that are far hence, is to be saved. Did you know that if you're in here this morning and you're not saved, you're going directly against the will of God? You may leave here and talk about all the godly stuff you've done and all the godly stuff you can do and everything you're going to accomplish for God. But if you're not saved, you're going against his will. For the will of God is that all men be saved. That's his will. And then come to the knowledge of the truth. So you can comprehend this. You see, folks, what this targeted was this bunch here. That was the entire program that God had. I mean, imagine before the foundation of the world, the centerpiece of his whole love was to save these here. You know why? Because it magnified his love and grace. You see, folks, it's easy for him to pour his wrath out here and kill this bunch and stand up and say, I'm a righteous God. But it was different for him to save this bunch through his son, Jesus Christ, so he can, in all eternal future, show the exceeding riches of his grace to everyone that lives from here on out. Whenever anybody questions God on his grace and the future out there, anybody questions him, he'll say, there's my church. Look at them. That's my grace that I forgave them all their sins and I brought them into my abode, my home, opened my doors for them. Can you say right now that you're a part of the family of God? Well, I think I am. We don't think that kind of stuff here. We don't hope so. We know so. You can know you are by putting your trust in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. If there's any doubt, question, or hesitation in your mind as to where you're going to go, not if you die, but when you die, then I suggest right here, right now, you trust in Jesus Christ. You may have a religious experience that you're thinking back on. Drop it and trust Jesus Christ, and you'll know the first Sunday in August of 09 with the rainy outdoors, you got saved. You'll remember it if you trust in him right now. Trust in him. Believe, be a part of us as we go up to be with the Lord. Don't let this opportunity pass you. This is all for God's eternal purpose. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer.